Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Yeah, one of our O-line coaches went there. The feet, the length, the size, but also room to grow. There's a ceiling there that we believe we can develop. And a lot of times it's the makeup. It's also the body type and the physical traits. And we believe he has a lot of those pieces to develop.
That's the voice of Bears general manager Ryan Poles talking about Braxton Jones, chosen in the fifth round. He's an offensive tackle.
168 overall.
Yeah. Southern Utah. Not Utah, not Northern Utah, Southern Utah. And he's a big man. He talked about, you know, I love draft speak. He's got the feet, the size, the body type. He's got, you know, ceilings and windows and everything. 6'5", 310 pounds. And I imagine they want him to get a little bit bigger or stronger anyway. Again, didn't watch a lot of Southern Utah football. But he said there, we had our offensive line coach go there and probably worked him out and took a look at him. So that's how their day started before started trading down. Turned three third-day selections into eight.
Jim Lexa, who is always listening to us, said, when you were reaching for that saying, don't confuse activity with productivity, which is another way to say the same thing.
Yep.
But all we have right now is to see the activity. And I, as a Bears fan, appreciate the activity because I know there was a lot of work that went into that, Brian. And the insight that we're getting as to why they're doing some of these things, it is head and shoulders above what we ever got from the previous regime.
Yeah. Again, if you just hire smart people, more often than not, they're going to be able to do the job, even if they're doing the job for the first time.
Right. So accomplishment and productivity, we don't know yet. They're just names.
No.
But I do appreciate at this point that they did get busy.
Yeah. And then look, Michael Reinsdorf talked about hiring AK and just said, all I know, I know basketball, but I don't know basketball like everybody else. You know,
you hire the right people.
And he said, I was hiring him, I talked to him. He's, I believed he was a smart guy and he was capable and he was going to do a good job here. And then, Theo Epstein, Rick Hahn, how many degrees does Rick Hahn have? You just know when you listen to people if they have a lot going on between the ears. Mm. Ryan Pace left me wanting, fired up, we're fired up, we're just fired up. I mean, usually if you hire the right people, smart people, they'll get the job done.
But you have to pay attention to them.
Yeah. But guess what? They will hire smart people, too, to do the jobs underneath them in collaboration. I know that's a big word up at House Hall. But anyway, they finally got around to the offensive line yesterday, and you're down in the later rounds of the draft, so who knows what Braxton Jones actually going to turn out to be. I mean, Southern Utah's not a football factory, right? I know yesterday we had a caller saying the Ohio State's not a quarterback factory.
Right.
So we're going back to Justin Fields. But they got some help for Justin Fields. I counted 1, 2, 3, 4 offensive linemen. Did they get that deep?
They did.
Yeah. Four offensive linemen, a running back, and they got a wide receiver in day two with their third overall pick, right?
And Jones.
Yeah, Jones, Velus Jones Jr. And you need a few more of those too.
Yep.
Right. So it's let's take a listen to the. This is one of the Bears scouts who tells you why Velus Jones Jr. is going to be okay for the Chicago
Absolutely.
Bears.
Absolutely. I think especially looking at that very first play at the Senior Bowl, you could really see it the way it translated to the field. I mean, he just runs by guys. And every time he gets the ball in his hands, you can see him outrunning angles. And, he's a real exciting guy to watch because of that. Yeah, the good thing is he's kind of matured over his years. You know, he started at USC and did some stuff out of the backfield there and kind of moved around in a lot of different roles. And then he had an opportunity to go to Tennessee with T. Martin, who had been with him prior to that at USC. And they did more things with him there. And then, he was one of the guys that I think took advantage of that COVID year and came back, and it really helped him to refine some different parts of his game. And with him, the more I watched him, the more I saw him improve. Even going through this season, you see a different player later in the season than what you saw early on the tape. And I think, you know, this is one of those guys that has continued to improve, and the extra time has helped him.
That's Bears scout Sam Somerville, who did a lot of scouting and work up on Velus Jones Jr. And, you know, that was the storyline the extra COVID year that players were allowed. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people think this draft is going to be pretty deep when it's all said and done. You look, take a look back on it in rearview mirror 4 years, 5 years from now. One more year of experience. And USC to Tennessee, and just that one extra year where it used to be guys were like just trying to get out after sophomore year and get to the league. Well, everything
they
changed.
They had to stay, and certainly not quarterback deep. But this could be good news for.
Yeah, I mean, it was wide receiver deep to the point where I'm sure a lot of Bears fans are still not too pleased that you only got one wide receiver out of the group, because you need more than one or two of those guys.
Well, you know, we don't know what their priorities were. Well, maybe we do now.
Yeah.
Looking at the draft, it's obvious. But going into it, we didn't know. But I think prioritizing the offensive line, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Considering. And maybe there's some assets, wide receiver assets out there somewhere in different ways. I'm not sure what that would look like.
Well, hopefully Darnell Mooney can find another level, and mm-hmm. you like what you've seen already. But Velus Jones Jr., 6 foot, 204 pounds, ran a 4.31 40 at the combine, 4 years at USC, including a redshirt freshman year. So he was, you know, learning on the sideline. Then he went to Tennessee for 2 years. Boy, this sounds like a lot of guys I know who weren't playing football. They just spent 6 years in college because they enjoyed the social part of it. Yeah. We're in no hurry to get out as their parents are writing checks. It's like
arrested development.
Like, yeah,
I'm not ready to be a.
Yeah, some of my friends who went to school down in Arizona, it wasn't because of any academic program they had to be part of. It was every dorm.
Are you ASU?
Yeah, every dorm had an outdoor pool and a lot of people hanging out at the pool every day.
Yeah,
so 6 years.
Career college student.
Yeah, 6 years wasn't going to be nearly enough for some people. He had a career-high 62 catches, 807 yards, 7 touchdowns in 2021, and he was the SEC co-special teams player of the year in 2021. We talked about he's a great return guy, maybe the best one to go in this draft. They had 41 kick returns for 1,026 yards and a touchdown 2 seasons at Tennessee. Added 18 punt returns for 272 yards in 2021. And Pohl said the Bears value Jones' ability to be used in several ways, so you got versatility going your way, too.
And then don't forget about the punter.
That's right. That NC State punter, the last selection, you got to have a punter. I mean, you know,
eventually, you may need him.
Well, hopefully, my idea was you don't need a punter because you're scoring every possession.
You just never, ever need a punter.
Matt Nagy needed a punter. I'm hoping Matt Eberflus doesn't need a punter, that you're actually, I don't know, scoring in the first quarter, the first half. There's a novel idea. Get one touchdown. How many times do we see a first half with nothing to show for it?
I like that. I like that plan.
Yeah.
I like that plan.
Then you can get to the punter. But, you know, last regime needed a punter. Absolutely needed a punter. 312-332-3776 is the telephone number. And
Jay in Homewood.
Yeah, Jay's there. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, man. Hey, I know this kid. This kid's name is Kendrick Pryor out of HF. The kid played at Wisconsin. This kid runs a 4.3. I am hoping he's an undrafted free agent.
Okay.
You know, Wisconsin was a more run-first offense.
Right.
And so some of the receivers didn't get the kind of numbers that they would have gotten.
What's his name?
My last name is McNair. This kid's name is Kendrick Pryor. This kid is a heck of an athlete. Heck of an athlete. Two-sport athlete at HF. Anyone who's listening, Google this kid. This kid put up some. He could have put up even bigger numbers at Wisconsin.
Does he have size? Is he a big wide receiver?
He's about six feet, 180. The kid runs a 4.3.
Okay.
This kid is an athlete. And at Wisconsin, had Wisconsin threw the ball more, this kid would have had bigger numbers.
Yeah.
My last name is McNair, Dr. McNair. I work with this kid in junior high. I've seen this kid. He has a great family. But I am telling you, this is a no miss. This kid has hands. This kid is undrafted because of the numbers were compromised because, you know, they're more or less a run-first offense, Wisconsin, that is. Watch this Pryor kid. And he has a local fan base because he came from the HF area. But I am telling you, this kid has a great family, disciplined kid. Bears, look at this kid. I tell you, he can work with Justin Fields. I've talked to a Coach Cunningham who coaches in the local area. He knows of this kid as well, but serious kid. All right, so
doctor,
people are listening.
Yeah, I got to tell you this, doctor. You sound just like I watch American Idol. I'm still the guy watching that. You sound like Lionel Richie. You're giving an evaluation. You sound just like him. You're very positive. You sold me, and the fact that the height starts with a 6, not a 5, right. Is I don't need the 5'8", 5'9", guys, 5'10", on a good
day. Thanks, Jay, for the scouting report.
Yeah, thanks, maybe, doctor. Appreciate it.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Poles will be listening and say, okay, I'm going to have to look that up.
You know what? You can find, look, if Kendrick Pryor is the guy that Dr. McNair, was it McNair? Yeah, he just said, then you find him anywhere. I would hope if someone on the Bears staff was driving around and happened to be listening, they would like, well, what does it hurt to Google?
Again, Kendrick Pryor.
Yeah, and, okay. You know.
HF.
He spoke to his character. Everything else, and local kid. Why not? So, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But he's undrafted, and there have been guys undrafted who played in this league for a long, long time.
Yeah, right? I think we have one on staff, don't we?
Yep.
Yurko.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You're exactly right. Come back and continue to take your calls, 312-332-3776. If you happen to know any guys you can help out with the Bears, feel free to give us a call.
Xander and Hanley is up.
It's here, and it's spectacular.
The all-new ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Mark Xander, Brian Hanley, back on ESPN 1000. Thanks for hanging out with us today and spending some time with us. White Sox baseball coming up. Pre-game, Connor McKnight in just a few minutes. Then it's the White Sox in action. ESPN 1000 is your home for White Sox
Take
baseball.
Take it on the Angels.
Yeah.
And, Dallas Keuchel on the mound.
Dallas Keuchel.
I know. Look, we're hoping he turns it around.
Yeah. I'm just
hoping.
I'm just going to guess because Keuchel's starting that the White Sox might be an underdog today. I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
312-332-3776. What's his ERA so far this season?
You know, mid-season it's double digits.
Yeah,
double digits.
I know, it's bad. Andrew is in Wheaton. He's on ESPN 1000. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So, a couple things have me excited about Velus Jones. One being, if you watch his highlight tape that the Bears put out, he scored touchdowns against Georgia, Alabama, and Florida, which, you know, is obviously the cream of the crop on defenses. But also, if you watch his 40 times, he actually goes outside the lines and comes back. So that 4-3-1 could have been even faster.
Wow. Yeah, he didn't go completely in straight lines. It took a little, ran serpentine a little bit, huh?
Exactly. And if I could add one more thing,
sure.
And not about Velus, but, you know, people talk about we should have taken a wide receiver earlier, but the odds of becoming a Pro Bowler versus like a second rounder or a third or fourth rounder, it's about 6% chance difference.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of an odds maker.
I appreciate the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Andrew. I actually heard Peggy and Dion talking about there was a New York Times story this week. So yesterday I was heading home listening to Peggy and Dion. They came on after us, and Dion said she read the New York Times story, I believe, and it's like 52%, if you trade down and around or whatever, it's 52%, like, percentage points difference, finding that guy who's going to stick versus the guy in the first round or whatever. It's not as great as what you would imagine it to be.
Right, and you know they're aware of all of that.
Oh, yeah.
The sabermetrics of drafting.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, Keuchel has a 9 ERA.
And by the way, the Angels Anaheim are a minus 125 because of Keuchel's 9. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Anaheim
not
favored today because 9.
You're right. Hey, it was 15.
Yeah, it's getting better. Pat's on the south side. Hey Pat.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How are you?
I got a guy. He didn't get drafted last night. A family friend. He's a fullback. Played at Northern Illinois Husky, Clint Rakovich.
Clint Rakovich.
He got hurt during the pro day and working out for Green Bay, but he is a stud, and he has the it factor in the red zone.
All right. Yeah, fullback, I mean, that year or two ago, it looked like that was going to go the way of the dinosaur. No teams really wanted to have a fullback taking up a roster spot, but you believe in him, right? And Clint, you trust, apparently. So there you go. Thanks for the call, Pat.
I like that name, right?
Clint?
Very Chicago.
Rakovich.
Rakovich.
Rack him up. Rakovich.
Yeah.
Fullback. I mean, that's undrafted for a reason. I don't think any.
It's so very old school.
Yeah. Any fullbacks get drafted. It's just that the league is not to say that in a situation you wouldn't want the old school fullback who can.
But
just,
you know how trends go? It might be trendy at some point to have a fullback again. I'm not sure when.
Well, if in fact, again, Clint Rakovich is your man. And I believe that. And he's Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois has put out a lot of really good football players over the last, you know, little bit here since they've become a really
When I was in high school in the 80s, that was not even on the map.
When I first started at the Sun-Times, I used to have to go cover those NIU games when it wasn't a thing. It was a suitcase college back at the time, right? So a lot of Chicago kids would, on the weekends, head do the reverse commute and leave campus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go home, do the laundry, have a good meal or two. So they weren't really drawing people. But, you know, over the course of the years, they've become a really, really good football program. And you're actually populating the NFL with NIU guys as well, right? Let's check in with Tom in Orland Park. A lot of Orland Park representation today. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. I'm a big fan. I love this show on Sunday morning. Look, so I have two things to throw out to you. One, I'm a big Sox fan.
Yep.
So two things to throw out. One is, first of all, this whole deal of so many injuries as they come up here for early in April. Why aren't the last 2 weeks of spring training done in Chicago? I mean, why aren't they doing training?
To
become acclimated. Yeah. I mean, the hamstring pulls, the oblique pulls, all these things, they're coming out of Arizona into cold weather here.
And a shortened spring training because of the lockout.
And that was another problem.
Yeah.
But I mean, but even other than that, how many years do you have to listen to? And no one does this. I don't get it. They just did batting, throwing, you know, fielding. If they did that to give themselves some time to acclimate to this temperature 2 weeks before the season, I bet you would see a lot of different.
I think recency bias has something to do with this here. We're seeing all of this because things have been screwed up for 3 years now.
I remember, though, we had Katie Feeney on from Major League Baseball. This goes years ago at the other place because we were complaining about why is it snowing on opening day here in Chicago? Why are the Cubs and Sox opening here? You know, put them on the road for that long road trip, make them start on the road for 2 weeks. And she came on and explained, like, we're idiots and you don't understand all the complexities of putting together a schedule for all the teams. And I get all that.
Right.
But the you know, these northern city teams, no one wants to play. No one wants to sit in that weather. No one wants to be part of it. Even on opening day, you're like, oh, how many layers of clothes do I have?
Yeah, but the Brewers can do it.
See,
that's the thing. So do we dome everything?
Don't dome Soldier Field, Mayor.
Not that.
A lot of that isn't. I agree with you guys wholeheartedly, but it's not practical. But you know what? What is practical is bring them up 2 weeks early. Let them acclimate to the temperature. Let them sprint in the cold. Let them get used to that.
Do you know how much money they've spent on all those spring training complexes? And they charge full fare and full ticket prices down there?
I
get what you're saying, Tom.
My second issue is this. So Carlos Rodon comes up here and has a really great start as a rookie. He got improperly stamped with this, injury prone guy.
Right.
I mean, he was grossly overthrown. He was scoped twice, both times. No structural damage. No rotator cuff tear. No labral tear. The diagnosis, because they have to give a diagnosis to these people when they have, in order for surgeries to be paid, he was diagnosed with chronic bursitis. Chronic bursitis is just overuse.
Yeah,
watch this Ethan Katz guy. I mean, this whole thing of letting these guys throw four innings, five innings, getting them out, expanding the middle relief corps, this will work, and you'll have a stronger staff at the end if you're playoff bound to be able to go. Don Cooper was just the wrong guy for Carlos Rodon, and it's shameful. He's going to thrive in San Francisco because, you know, 2 years ago he pitched 30. When he had his ulnar collateral injury, that was all because of shoulder pain, being overthrown, trying to continue to throw through pain. He changed his arm angle, started to do what they call valgusing the elbow, which causes the ulnar collateral ligament aggravation, which we're seeing, which is so common now. But so that's corrected. He comes back, throws 30 innings. Last year, he throws 133.5 innings, and they have the nerve to knock him because he's tired at the end of the season. And this year he'll throw 200 innings. You know, please God, and he's going to be a Cy Young candidate.
Well, he's 3-0 right now. 1.17.
I think he's 4-0.
Maybe I'm looking at something old.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. A lot of good points there, and.
We've talked about Rodon on this show before. But Rodon instead of Kopech? No. Hindsight, could we have dumped Keiko's contract and signed Rodon?
No.
And that's the issue.
You're going to make him earn his money.
That would have been the play.
Absolutely.
That would have been the play.
But you can't get rid of Keiko and his 9.0 ERA. Hey, before we get out of here, I want to wrap up our Twitter poll.
Yeah, interesting results. Yep.
We had three different questions here. And let's do them in order of importance, which means the Cubs will go last. Should the Bulls sign Zach LaVine to a max contract, 5 years, $200 million? Simple yes or no. How do you think that went out?
No.
No. 60%.
Okay.
No. 60, Bulls fans. 60-40.
All right.
The White Sox question, how concerned are you about your Chicago White Sox right here, the home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000 with Connor McKnight coming up in a few minutes with the pregame? Are you very concerned, somewhat concerned, not at all concerned, somewhat, which is the
somewhat,
vote you
yep.
cast.
And Jesse, too.
Yes, that went two, and then you voted two or three times because you're from Chicago.
Yep.
Somewhat, 44%, very concerned, 36%, not at all, 20%.
Okay.
So, interesting breakdown there. And so, if you're still a Cubs fan, how closely are you paying attention to your Chicago Cubs and their games? Same as usual, a little less, not at all. Not at all. 45%.
Wow.
A little
Cubs
less.
Fans, where are you at?
Well, they're at AAA along with the team. A little less, 35%. Same as usual, 20%. Whether it's you're good or bad or indifferent, you're going to be there, show up in front of the TV or in Wrigleyville or down in Mesa. Believe me, those places they put hundreds of millions of dollars in, they're not shortening spring training. No. They like everyone going down there, buying the tickets and the concessions, and everything goes along with it. And we are going to get out of here, make room for Connor McKnight and White Sox pregame. Thanks for calling today. Thanks for listening. Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000.
See you.